grace and mercy follow me, and I know I'm an overcomer. I will always give the praise to the one who forever reigns. In him I triumph every day, cause every battle has been won. So I've already overcome, and I will lift my voice and say, cause praise precedes our victory. I am victorious. Victorious. I am victorious.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I am victorious.
Yes, I am
victorious. Living the best life, living the best life. I am victorious. Living the best life, living the best life. I am victorious.
Cause every battle has been won. So I've already overcome. And I will lift my voice and say, cause praise precedes the victory.
Something about praising God before you see the victory, before you can even taste the victory. You feel like your back's against the wall.
Hallelujah.
You feel like there's nowhere to go. But you begin to praise the God for the victory, and He will open that door and show you and give you the confidence and boldness, and you will go from victory to victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, to be in His presence this morning. In Psalm 68, it says, sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth, sing praises to the Lord. Sing to the one who rides across the ancient heavens, His majesty, His mighty voice thundering from the sky. Tell everyone about God's power. His majesty shines down on Israel. His strength is mighty in the heavens. God is awesome in His sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to His people. Praise be to God. We are reminded we have another opportunity to praise Him. He gets to remind us of some promises that He once gave us that maybe we forgot about. He is here to remind us, to confirm, I have promises for you. I have exceedingly precious promises for you. I want to remind you of that and confirm it this morning in Jesus' name.
Jesus, hallelujah.
He's an awesome God. He's an amazing God. Let's worship the Lord together and proclaim it with our voice. Proclaim it with our heart in this place this morning in Jesus' name.
You're the one who walked on water, and you calm the raging seas. You command the highest mountains to fall upon their knees. You're the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restore the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember all your promises. You are set the captive free. You're the King who came to serve, and you're the God who washed our feet. You're the one who took our burdens, and you bled upon the cross. In your kindness and your mercy, you became the way for us. All our sins, you remember all your promises. You are amazing, more than amazing, forever.
Protector,
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 Protector, protector,
protector,
protector,
awesome,
awesome. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken, strength where I've been weakened, forever He will reign.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
One thing good about coming to church on time, getting here at 10 o'clock and worshiping the Lord and not coming in like during the offering or preaching is this part of the service is for Him. Yes. The second part, and when we get fed, is for us. Yes. I just saw that over the weekend. I don't know if it was a tweet or something on Facebook, but I just felt like it just came right to my mind right before I came up here that this is all for God's glory, all for
yes,
Him. And He, in return, He feeds us. He gives us what we need to hear to get throughout the day, throughout the week.
Amen.
We can ask the ushers to come at this time. Brother Alex, would you pray? Amen.
For you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus.
is the Messiah. You're the hope for all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. For you wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You're the hope for all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we're glad you're for us. Oh, we're so thankful you're for us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If our God is for us, then who can be against us? Through him, we are an overcomer. Through him, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Triumph in your name.
got the victory, everything will be alright, alright.
We got
the victory, everything will be alright. Cause we're on the winning side. We got the victory, everything will be alright, alright.
We
got the victory, and everything will be alright. You're the one, hallelujah, hallelujah. The one who made a way for us to triumph in your name. Oh, 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 oh,
victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I may not be sure of a lot of things in life, but there's one thing that I'm sure of. I'll just hold on to the hand of Jesus. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, can you lift your hands and lift your voice? Thank you for the victory we have in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Feels so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles and turn in them with me. Mark chapter number 7. I want to say thank you to all those who participated in the events we had going on this last week. Men's fellowship. The ladies' health class, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be a part of that. We have these events for you to come and fellowship and have time together. Young people, you may make your way upstairs, youth class. Just so thankful for those that were able to come and be a part of those gatherings. Mark chapter number 7. How many of you believe Deuteronomy 6:4, Hail Israel, the Lord I want is our God is one Lord? You remember that? Know that scripture? If you do, hold up one finger. Put it right there at Mark chapter 7. Turn back to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15. We'll read a passage in Mark chapter 7. It is the account of both gospel writers, Matthew and Mark, the same occurrence. Matthew chapter 15, begin reading in verse number 10. And He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. But I say that which comes out. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, Are ye also without understanding? Do you not understand that whatsoever entereth at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Those things which proceed out of the mouth, everybody say out. Those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Everybody say from the heart. And they defile the man. For out, everybody say out. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but not to eat with unwashed hands. But to eat with unwashed hands rather defileth not a man. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 20. He being Jesus said, That which cometh out, everybody say out. Out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within or out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Help the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Changing the outcome. Changing the outcome. Jesus said that which proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart. Comes from within. So you and I, according to Scripture, you and I have opportunity to change the outcome. To change what comes out. To change how things turn out. To change how things come out. There's a biblical precedent and understanding in Scripture that helps us to understand how to change the outcome. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name. Lord, I pray that you would open the hearts and minds of every person in this place, Lord, that they would be receptive to your word. Lord, that we would hear and understand and apply it to our lives, to know and understand that through your power and with your help, Lord, by having you within us, God, the Holy Ghost working and moving inside of us, Lord, we can change what comes out. We can change the outcome, not only in this life, but for all eternity. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you, we honor you, Jesus, for you are worthy to be praised. We lift you up and magnify your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Changing the outcome. In the passages of Scripture where we have just read, the scribes and Pharisees are once again attempting to find fault with Jesus and his followers. Numerous times the scribes and Pharisees have endeavored to dismiss and invalidate the teachings and actions of Jesus by leveraging their supposed supremacy in knowledge of the law. Their particular grief in this setting stems from witnessing the disciples eating with unwashed hands. If you go back to the beginning of Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, you will find there the reason for why they came to Jesus. It says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But what they did not understand was that Jesus knew the law better than they did. Jesus knew that what they were griping about was not the written law.
what they were griping about, if you do a study, you will find nowhere in the written Torah, nowhere in the law of Moses was it said that you were to wash your hands before eating. This was in the oral law. This was in the tradition that was passed down from elder to elder. This was a part of this weight that they had placed upon the people, this burden that Jesus had referred to more than once, saying that you have laid upon men's shoulders, but you yourself don't lift a finger. Jesus was chastising the scribes and Pharisees, for they had come to him. They were upset. They were griping that they had witnessed Jesus. They had witnessed his followers, the disciples, eat bread with unwashed hands. And so they were trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to point out that Jesus was not adhering to the law and that his followers were not to be listened to or adhered to, because what they did went against the ordinances that they had set up. They were griping and complaining about the oral law that had been passed down from elder to elder. It was a tradition of men. It was not something that God had given to Moses to institute among the people. It was not part of the written law. And so Jesus used some very strong language in verses 7 through 9 in the same chapter of Matthew 15. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the traditions or the commandments of men." You make these things to be doctrines, and they are nothing more than commandments of men. They are not what God gave to your forefather Moses. You're talking about something in the natural. You're talking about what goes in the mouth in a natural sense. But I need to point out something of much more importance. I'm talking about something that goes into the heart. Talk about the disciples and transgressing the law because they dare to eat with unwashing hands. Yet you draw nigh unto God with your mouth and with your lips, but your heart is far from it. You want to gripe about natural occurrences and the disciples as they naturally eat, but I need you to understand there is something much more important. You're talking about defiling yourself by consuming food without washing your hands. With what you need to understand and what you need to worry about is how and why you've defiled yourself by allowing things into your heart. That's why he said in the passage that we read, "Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth unto the belly and is cast out in the draught?" We know that process anatomically, physiologically. We know what happens after we eat and consume food in the digestive system and what happens. And Jesus is reminding them, listen, they eat these things in the natural and it goes into the belly and goes out into the draught. Let me tell you about something that is much more important. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from within, from the heart, and they are what defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." You are paying attention to the wrong things. You are focusing on something that doesn't matter. And you're neglecting the weightier matters of the law. Righteousness. Peace. Faith. You need to understand. You err in the way that you look at things. You're looking at it wrong. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. What comes out in our lives is a direct result of what is put in our lives. I had a man that was principal of the high school, private school that I attended, and he would say this a lot, and I agreed. He'd say, "Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out." There are a lot of things that come out of man: adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. The only way to change what comes out is to change what is put in. The only way to change the outcome is to change the input. Even in a secular sense, we understand this. For whether it was a political race or a court case or a performance evaluation of some sort or an athletic game, how many times has a disappointed interviewee made a statement similar to this? Well, if we had done some things different, it might have changed the outcome. If we'd have worked a little harder, or we'd have understood, or we'd have gone at it by this angle, or if we had done this, or if we had done that, it might have changed the way the thing ended up. If we'd have changed what we put into it, it might have changed what we got out of it. Might I rise on this Sunday morning to say, Lord, help me to understand. If I'm going to change the outcome in my life, if I'm going to change the outcome in my family, if I'm going to change the outcome in my existence, I got to change the input. If I want the outcome to be better, the input's got to be better. If I want what comes out in my life to be better, well, then I've got to input better stuff. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Input these things. Get these things in your heart and in your life. Even the secular world has enough sense to understand the concept of changing the outcome by changing the input. See, the outcome that we as a society are dealing with today is a direct result of the input we put in yesterday. Our generation that has this entitlement mentality, they didn't come to that all on their own. Stuff we put in, it's stuff we allowed to happen in their life. I saw something the other day, and it was a picture of a blank page, and it said right underneath it, right here is a list of what the world owes you. Nothing. I am not entitled to anything. I get what I get by what I put forth and what I put into it. That's why the Apostle Paul said, listen, if they're not willing to work, well, then they shouldn't eat. What are you saying, Paul? I'm not being hard. I'm just saying, listen, there's got to be some input if you want some outcome. And the input's got to be good if you want the outcome to be good. We live in a world where there's such a lack of independence, there's such a disrespect for authority, there's such a mistrust of leadership. And might I say this, that is on us and what we have developed and what we have cultivated in our culture. I say we as a society, why would we expect anything different? For what we have put in year after year is an entitlement mentality, is a lack of respect, is a mistrust for leadership. I knew I wouldn't get many amens along these lines, but we need to be reminded you can't sow evil and reap good. You can't sow discord and reap unity. You can't sow entertainment and athletics and reap education and innovation. It doesn't work that way. You cannot sow injustice and reap justice. You cannot sow unrighteousness and reap righteousness. You cannot sow deceit and reap truth. You can't do it. What comes out is a direct result of what is put in. What comes out in our life, what comes out in our families, what comes out in our own existence as a human being is a direct result to what we put in. James chapter 3 verses 11 and 12 said, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive trees, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. See, the outcome is a direct result of the input. So the only way you ever change the outcome is you change the input. See, here's the problem. We develop all these programs in an attempt to deal with the outcomes. And what needs to change is the input. See, at one time, and I know I'm old school, but at one time, the Bible was a textbook. At one time, they were inputting Scripture in the hearts and minds of children. And now they wait. They won't allow them in schools. They won't teach from them, but guess what? They'll freely hand them out in prison. We got it backwards. We're trying to deal with the outcomes, and what we need to do is change the input. What we need to realize are those things that we're instilling in the hearts and minds of this generation. We're going to reap tomorrow. We're going to reap in the future. You say, well, I'm really not happy with the way things are turning out in my life. I'm really not happy with the way things are turning out in my family. I'm really not happy with the way things are turning out. I thought things would be so much different at this point in my life. I can honestly say I'm not really satisfied with where I am and how things have turned out. Well, can I offer this little tidbit of advice? Change the input. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Your family won't get better unless you put better things in it. Your relationship won't get better unless you put better things in it. You want to change the outcome, you change the input. Oh, I just don't like the way things have turned out. Well, then stop repeating the process. Change the input. Because the present we have today is a gift from our past. And what we open in the future will be determined by what we do today. Catch that. Let me say it this way. I can't make today different by changing yesterday. But I can make tomorrow different by changing today. I'm going to say that again. I can't make today different by changing yesterday, but I can make tomorrow different by changing today. By coming to the realization and understanding, I'm not going to be satisfied with the outcome until I start putting better stuff in, until the input that I'm inputting in my life gets better. I cannot expect the outcome to be any better. Pastor, I want a better relationship. Well, Pastor, I want a better walk with God. Well, Pastor, I want a more happy and fulfilled and satisfied life. Well, let me tell you how to do it. Change the input. Change what you're putting in it. If all I'm doing is being entertained away and all I'm doing is feasting upon the junk this world feeds us with, guess what? It's not going to get any better. The systems of this world have no desire in making the outcome in your life any better. This way is a way that leads into destruction. The ways of this world, they don't care. Oh, I wish that people would realize this world has no affinity for you. This world will constantly and consistently feed us junk with a fire hose. And the more we ingest, the sicker we get. So I'm just simply rising on this Sunday morning to say, if we want to change the outcome, we got to change the input. We got to turn some things off. We got to get away from some things. We got to understand it's not doing anything but feeding my life full of junk. And I need to get away from it. It's not when I'm downloading this stuff and I'm getting it in my spirit. It's defiling me and it's causing what comes out. Be negative. Pessimistic and dreary and I'm downtrodden and I'm filled with anxiety and distress. You want to know why that's the outcome? Because the input's off and I need to change it. And I need to say, God, help me change the input. Help me change what I'm putting in my life. See, that's really what repentance is. Repentance is an understanding that the input has to change. Repentance is an understanding that the outcome I'm dealing with in my life is not what I want. And so I've got to make some changes. And repentance is essentially the understanding the input has to change. What I'm giving myself to and what I'm participating in, when someone truly comes to a place of repentance, they are literally saying in the depths of their soul, I got to change what I'm spiritually ingesting. I've got to change what I'm allowing into my life because the outcome it is producing, it's not beneficial to me or those around about me. So I've got to change the input. You see, that's why we still believe that repentance is essential. That's why we still believe, and I know I speak, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, but listen, we don't back away from the need and the understanding that repentance must take place, that someone has to come to that point of realization that all I've been inputting in my life and those things which I've done and the things which I've allowed to seep into my spirit, they're not good for me and they're not going to lead me in the right way and the outcome will not be beneficial to me. So I've got to change the input. Because if the outcome is ever going to change, well, then the input has to be different. So repentance is essentially a commitment to change the input. A commitment that says, I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to deal with the outcomes that I'm dealing with. I want to change it. I want it to be different. I want it to turn out different. I want my family to turn out different. I want my relationship to turn out different. I want my walk with God to turn out different. How do I change it, Pastor? I'm telling you, you got to change the input. And then for someone who's coming to the understanding of the need for a change of input, I'm glad I can tell them that, listen, when you're baptized in the name of Jesus, it wipes the slate clean. All that stuff that was inputted, all that stuff that was downloaded, all the stain of sin on your life, it's like taking a hard drive and wiping it clean. There's no more there. It's changed. But now it's up to you and I. Once we come to the understanding that the input has to change, and we're baptized in the name of Jesus, or we confess our sins, we confess the input was wrong, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now that the slate has been wiped clean, and now we've realized our need to change the input, now there's an opportunity for input. It's so amazing. Input that is so powerful. Input that is able to forever change the outcome. See, that's why we still believe and we still teach and we still preach. Repentance is essential. Understanding the need for the change of input is absolutely essential in repenting before God. And we also teach, preach, and believe that baptism in His name is essential, for it remits us of all our sin. It wipes the slate clean. But now, we stand at the point where I have an opportunity to change the input. Now, through the power and the presence of God, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, through His Spirit living inside of me. Jesus said, He that believeth on me, as the Scriptures hath said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. How do I change the outcome? How do I change it from stale, dead, unsatisfying water to living water? I tell you how I change it. I change it by what I'm filled with. And that's why the Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. You and I need to understand that having the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential to changing the input.
won't really change the input without the power and help of God. I really won't change the input without His presence in my life. And so I need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need to change the input, and that is through the power of Almighty God. Despite the circumstances of life and despite what I deal with and go through, if I'll learn how to change the input, if I'll learn how to come before God and say, Lord, I need you. And whether we've just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost or we've had the Holy Ghost for years, the process is still the same. My fear is that many times we think that just by having the Holy Ghost that everything's all right. But what we need to be reminded of, unless we're feeding that, unless we're allowing input to continue to be downloaded from the power and presence of God, the outcome, we cannot expect to be much different. See, when it comes to my life, when it comes to who I am, when it comes to me being a better person, better father, better husband, a better pastor, it's only going to change by changing the input. Better stuff in, better stuff out. Good in, good out. Righteousness in, righteousness out. Love in, love out. See, I can't expect that I'm going to be beneficial. This world, my family, my friends, the church. I can't expect to be beneficial. What I'm putting into my life is not beneficial to me. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Apostle Paul said it, there is therefore now no condemnation. Them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, and they are contrary one to another. It's an old Indian proverb saying. It's in reference to good and evil, and I've probably said it before. The allegory is such that stated that inside each and every one of us there's a good dog and an evil dog. And the one who wins the fight is determined by which one we feed the most. How do I change the outcome? Change the input. Set your word about what a man and how a man eats naturally. Worried about the fact that they've eaten with unwashing hands, but oh, you're missing the main point, fellas. Focusing on something that in comparison is so inconsequential. You're spending time and you're deliberating over something that really doesn't matter much in the grand scheme of things. And what you really need to focus on and what you really need to look at is, what are you allowing into your heart? For out of the abundance, the heart, the mouth speaketh. Can I just be real? I understand there's a lot of things in this life that are attractive to our humanity and our carnality. A lot of things that appeal to us
as human beings. There's a lot of entertainment. There's a lot of interaction. I get that. But what I really need to look at is, what's my spiritual diet consist of? What am I feeding myself with? Because it's not just going to affect me, it's going to affect my family. It's not just going to affect me, it's going to affect my loved ones and my friends. I can't allow the input of junk and expect treasure to come out. It doesn't happen that way. Just being real. I'm going to change the outcome. I got to change the input. I look at my situation today and I look at how things are turning out in my life and I say, I'm not satisfied. I'm not happy. Not where I want to be. See, even in the secular realm, they get this. Even in the secular realm, they understand. Advertising all the time. Not happy with how you look or where you are in life or your success. You want to be different? Well, take this or do this or go to this course or study this. The reality is that at some point in time, even in the secular sense, if I really change the input, the outcome will change. What happens? How I live. Who I am and what I become will change according to what I put into my life. It's not just important for me. It's important for my wife. It's important for Austin, Kinsley, and Landon. Because what I put in will affect what comes out. In my humanity, there's been times in my life where I've snapped at my kids or I've reacted wrongly. What comes out after looking and evaluating, say, wow, where did that come from? Well, why'd you respond like that? Why were you so quick to anger? What happened? If I do a little self-evaluation, I'll realize that the input that was going in before that outcome came out was probably wrong. Negative thoughts, feelings. So every facet of our life, obviously in a church setting, in this setting, I'm speaking in a spiritual sense, but even in a secular sense, you want to change the outcome, change the input. Change what you're putting into your life. You see, it's one of the reasons why we call this place an altar and we invite people to come, make some commitments, is literally what we're doing is saying there's a realization in your life that input has to change, and so here's a good place to start. Here's a good place to say, I've got to change the input. If things are going to be different and the outcome's going to change, then what I'm putting in has to change. I can't stay the same. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice? I know I'm speaking for me. The input's got to change. There's got to be some better input in my life. Because I want the outcome. You see, even eternally, if you want the outcome to change, then the input has to change. I will not make heaven my home without Jesus Christ in me. Because it's Christ
in me the hope of glory. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. I want more godliness in my life. I want to be more of a Christian. I want to be more Christ-like. And that's only going to change by changing the input. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for once again reminding me how important it is. What I ingest, what I feed my mind with, we occupy our minds with so much stuff that has no eternal significance at all. It only serves to try to defile and damn us. And as long as we pull up to the table and feast upon it, it will have its effect. But the only way you change the outcome is by changing the input.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men.
Holy Spirit,
teaching us and denying ungodliness.
Holy Spirit,
unrighteous, we should live soberly and righteously in this present world.
To be one.
Lord, I need more of you in me.
Holy Spirit, come.
So more of you will be displayed.
Holy Spirit, rest in this place.
I need more of you in me.
Teach us how.
I need more of your love. I need more of your faith. I need more.
I yield my heart to you.
Help me.
I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you.
I don't want to be pharisaical and I don't want to be like the Sadducees focusing on stuff that really doesn't matter. I don't want to gripe and complain about things of really no spiritual significance. Lord, help me to really understand what matters.
You're my King. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how. To be one with you, Holy Spirit, come.
If tomorrow you Holy had the unfortunate Spirit experience of sitting across the table place, from a doctor who was diagnosing you with a terminal
to
illness,
be one with you,
and he tells you your time's short,
you
would be amazed at how many things you thought mattered would no longer matter. And I guarantee you that input that you get from the doctor, I would guarantee that those words that were said to you in that moment, that input that you get would all of a sudden start changing some outcome. Jesus said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except you change the input.
I am one with you. Nothing in this world could ever keep me from you.
Lord, I need you in my life.
Holy Spirit, rest in
more of you, Jesus.
Teach us
more of you, Jesus.
To be one.
I want the outcome
you.
To change, so
Holy
I got to change him.
Come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you.
Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to have your spirit inside of me, changing the input. Thank you, Jesus. I can build myself up praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing in this world could ever
if I'll ingest good things, if I'll ingest righteousness, if I'll ingest those things that matter, Lord, I'll matter on the outside. I'll make a difference in life. I'm going to change the outcome. I got to change the
input. I am one with you. Nothing in this world could ever keep me from you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one. Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Reminds me how important it is what I give myself to, Lord, what I allow to occupy my time. Help me. Help me to change the outcome by changing the input. May your power, your help, and your strength. More time all over this house. Lift our hands and our voice. Thank you for your word, which challenges. God, I don't want evil to come out. I don't want bitter to come forth from this fountain, Lord. I want rivers of living water to flow from my innermost being, Lord. I want to make a difference in my family. I want to make a difference in my workplace. I want to make a difference among my friends and my loved ones, my acquaintances, Lord. Help me to change the outcome by changing the input. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in the precious name of Jesus.